You may know chef and author Tanya Holland from her appearances on Top Chef or her show Tanya's Kitchen Table on Oprah's TV network.
So traditional dirty rice, why they call it dirty? You use chicken livers, sausage, leftover meat parts, in addition to having some Worcestershire sauce and soy sauce. It looks dirty, but it's delicious.
This one, Tanya Holland recently closed her trailblazing Brown Sugar Kitchen in Oakland, California. And she joins us now to talk about what dishes give her comfort these days and what her next chapter will be. Tanya, welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, thank you very much. Great to be here.
Great to have you. You opened Brown Sugar Kitchen in Oakland 15 years ago, putting Oakland on the map as a dining destination for those who didn't really already know about it. What are you most proud of from your work there?
I'm really proud that I created, you know, what I did, the following of, guests from around the country and around the world with so little resources, you know. And then I was able to bring together such a diverse group of people, especially in that initial location that was really small. That just really made my day every day.
Yeah, that intimacy was what many people loved. In 2019, mm-hmm. you moved Brown Sugar to a larger space in Oakland, and then you mm-hmm. opened a location in San Francisco, too. Looking back, do you think that it was bad luck or bad timing right before the pandemic? What lessons did you take away from it?
Oh, there's too many lessons to count. I mean, the timing, you can never predict. I mean, it was really difficult trying to open two locations at once. That was really a big mistake. So close together, within weeks apart, just so many lessons. I don't even know where I could start.
You know, at this time, so many of us are trying to support our local restaurants. The restaurant industry is having a hard time right now. Do you think it's going to emerge once this pandemic is over, whenever that is?
Yeah, it's really hard to say. I mean, I have these conversations constantly with my colleagues about, you know, our survival. And, you know, it's just there's so many variables that contribute to the success of a restaurant. It can be location. It could be whether or not that cuisine is trending. And then also in that market, what's the pool of employees look like? Like, for instance, in the Bay Area, there's been kind of a mass exodus. Housing prices continue to rise and there's not enough housing. Also competing with tech companies who can offer better compensation that have cafeterias, even though they're not all occupying their spaces. But I do have faith that restaurants will, you know, continue to be important because they're such an important third space for people. You know, and it also was proven just what a significant role they play in our national economy. And as stepping stones for immigrants, and as a way to just hold on to, you know, cultural traditions.
Those cultural traditions, you trained in France, you have family roots in the South, you're known for a different kind of soul food. How do you define your style and your influences and what cooking is about for you?
Well, my biggest influence was with my parents hosting this gourmet cooking club for 20 years with, you know, five other couples, and it was always three Black couples and three white couples. And just this notion that people were going to get along over food, and also just feeding people and providing an experience. That's really what my goal was when I went to cooking school in hopes of creating my own space, but also to take the cuisine that I grew up with and elevate it and make it also more accessible to people who weren't necessarily from that cultural background. So my style is really, you know, just a blend of, yeah, my heritage, my training in France, and the opportunities that were presented to me. I mean, I went to France with this idea that I would come back and open this upscale soul bistro. And, you know, I would cook things like foie gras and sweetbreads and lamb and, you know, but make it soulful. And then when I had the opportunity to open my restaurant, it was in a neighborhood that was quite marginal. And I knew that, you know, I had to make the concept even more accessible. And so I made the cuisine simpler and just really focused on the flavor and just making that brand something that everybody could kind of understand.
I want to talk with you about making a simple thing perfect. You're known for your really good fried chicken. People talk about coming to your restaurant and being able to just have a really good piece of chicken, and chicken and waffles, for instance. What does making a simple thing perfect mean to you?
Wow, it's so ironic because my mom fried chicken probably 3 days a week growing up. And after I left my parents' home, I was like, I don't want to fry chicken anymore.
Yeah.
And then I became known for my fried chicken. I think what makes it perfect is just it is the sum of all the ingredients. It is, you know, the sourcing the best chicken that is, sustainable, hormone-free, marinating it overnight, which tenderizes it and flavors it, and using a really clean oil to fry it, and serving it, you know, within a few minutes after actually frying it. All those details add up.
Those details add up, and also just taking the time. I'm hearing from you that time is important, to just be intentional about it. If you decide the night before that you're going to get that seasoning together and then you're combining all of the ingredients, that's one thing that I think many of us have taken stock now that we're home and we're cooking more.
Yes, absolutely. Time, and my cuisine in particular, because, you know, so much of it is, you know, marinated overnight, or our waffles were yeast risen, so the batter had to be made the day before. When they knew that I was cast on Top Chef, they thought that might provide an issue for me, because so much of my food is really slow cooking, you know, marinades, mm-hmm. braising. But I enjoy how the flavors really meld and develop when you take the time to cook something slowly.
What dishes give you the most comfort right now?
Hard to say. The dishes that other people prepare give me the most comfort. I love getting takeout to support my, you know, fellow restaurateurs. Roast chicken is something I'll never get tired of. But, you know, at home, I still really keep it simple. I'm, you know, using my slow cooker again to make some bone broths. And, you know, they're always satisfying.
Mm. You're also still running the Town Fair restaurant at the Oakland Museum of California. But what's next for you? Do you want to open another restaurant?
Wow. I mean, as I, you know, kind of take stock of what brings me joy right now, I love creating a space that's beautiful for people to experience, and especially at a table with food and conversation. So I don't see that I won't do that again. I have my next cookbook coming out next fall. It's called Tanya Holland's California Soul. So there's that, and whatever else I can get myself into in this industry.
Yeah. One other thing you're really known for is taking on what you've called bro culture in the world of restaurants and trying to make it easier for women of color to open restaurants. Is that something that you'll still be pursuing, and what needs to happen there?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's all about access, having the same access. I actually, you know, because of the show on OWN, not necessarily because of it, but I had an opportunity to speak to Miss Winfrey last summer, and she asked, you know, how she could help. And I said, the only thing I really want is to have the same opportunities as my white male counterparts. No handouts, you know, no special things. I just want the same opportunities. I want to be thought of for that. And that is going to continue to be a conversation. You know, the restaurant business was really founded on a very patriarchal construct. But there's so much feminine energy that is required for a restaurant to be successful. So I think just finding, you know, the balance and getting people to understand that, you know, women have the same aptitude and capacity to be successful as long as they have the same tools and the same resources.
Chef and author Tanya Holland joining us from Oakland, California. Congratulations on all of your success, and we look forward to the future.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, and thanks for inviting me